This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Thanks to Toby for the update. Welcome back to Grant and Danny on the Fan. Let's go to the Rood guest hotline. Rood, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. And let's get to the bottom of some of the moving and shaking the Commanders have been doing over the last few days with Ben Standing of The Athletic, who covers the team. Ben, we will start with the news of the day, and that is the release of Jonathan Allen. Not necessarily a surprise, but when did it become pretty clear this was the way they were going, and why do you think they didn't feel like he was worth keeping around and maybe not making the $16.5 million in cap space that they created by releasing him?
Yeah, I mean, I was looking back at some of my notes and stories from last year, and I was already talking then about John Allen is possibly playing on the last year of his deal. You know, he had this large cap number, 22 million on the cap, basically, and not even so much because they drafted Johnny Newton, though, you know, that's notable. But, you know, that's a huge number. He's going to have to, you know, he hadn't been playing well enough at that point to justify those figures. And I know it's $15 million salary, but, you know, going into the last year, he's going to want a new deal, you know, just like we talk about with, like, coaches or other key players. Like, hey, I think I've put in my time. I think I've done a good job. Why aren't we doing an extension? And I think this group, who didn't draft John Allen, who didn't sign with the last extension, were like, you know what? We'd rather have we use that money elsewhere. And, you know, look, he also had the injury last year, which I can't ding him for. You know, things happen. But ultimately, you know, they just weren't getting from the money. And I don't think they wanted to commit multiple years beyond this if they're going to give him an extension.
How far away from the level, this question probably won't make any sense, and I'm sure I'll have to rephrase it, Ben, but I'll do my best. How far away from the level of worth it was his play last year? In other words, if he was a Pro Bowler, if he was a star, I don't think you'd think twice. Maybe you would, but you know what I mean? Like, this now seemed to be, to go in the no-brainer category, wasn't that he was bad, but it wasn't going to be $22 million worth, right? How far away from that level was he in your mind?
Well, I probably look at it like this. You know, it's sometimes hard, as we know, to sort of identify one player when you're talking about a four-player line and, you know, 11 on defense and all these things. You know, Washington was 30th in the run against the run last year, and they were bad whether John was in the lineup or not. They were not getting this done. And again, I'm not putting it all on him, but, you know, if you're one of those defensive tackles that's a true game wrecker that the other team really has to focus on, you know, I don't know how much that's happening too often. And, you know, I just – and look, De'Ron Payne could easily have been the guy instead of Allen, except that his contract goes for two more years, and that's the rub. His cap hit is a huge – would be a huge penalty for them, whereas John Allen actually saved $16 million. So, you know, look, you look at this defense as a whole, I don't think any of us are going, you know what, bring them all back. That thing worked last year. And, you know, again, not pinning it on one guy or Allen, but – you know, the way the collective worked, I just don't think there was enough there. You know, also, like, he had 9.5 sacks, I want to say, in 2021. His sack totals and his QB hits went down. each of the next 2 years. Obviously, last year when he missed half the season, that's going to be lower. But, you know, the numbers were declining as well. So, you know, put it all together with the new staff, and so I think that's, you know, just kind of what happened.
Ben Standing of The Athletic. Daron Payne has not played up to his contract either. They need more out of him. Johnny Newton was only a rookie, but I thought was okay, but they certainly are going to need him to make a leap. Maybe some thoughts on that. But then also, is D-tackle suddenly a position that they could spend money at again, or that they may need to go get, you know, as I like to call him, a smart car who can take on blocks and help clog things up? Or do you think they just kind of go forward with Sheldon Day types behind their starters?
I think it's definitely conceivable that they add a defensive tackle, maybe even in the draft. I mean, this is considered, as I'm sure you guys have discussed, a very strong draft on the defensive line. I've heard some people say tackle is even better than edge. And, you know, look, if Daron Payne is going to be in the John Allen position next year, then we'll be talking about Daron Payne just getting released unless he has a significantly better year. So they're going to possibly need another defensive tackle anyway. I know that they have gone through a litany of defensive tackles. Let's not forget Bedarian Mathis was a recent pick, but you know, basically if Payne and Newton were to play 70% of the snaps, which is, you know, sort of in line with tackles, then that's obviously like 60% that's still out there between the two spots. So, you know, they could justify adding another player. Whether it's a more of a high profile guy or a first or second round pick, I don't think that's crazy at all. I mean, right now they only have four defensive linemen total on the roster, more or less.
That's my fault. I cut you off. Ben Standing of The Athletic with us here on G&D. I want to ask you about Wagner coming back. I'm a fan of it. I think it's the right thing to do. I'd love to be in a position at some point in the not-too-distant future where I don't need my 35-year-old that's, you know, obviously not as good as he was 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago, even though he was a Hall of Famer, to come back. But I think they are in that position where they needed to have him. But your general reaction to Wagner returning?
Yeah, look, I mean, you mentioned the age. You know, there's obviously some decline in terms of just like this overall like athletics, ability, speed, pass coverage, things like that. But the instincts are really, really honed and sharp, and he can make up for any athletic decline by understanding what's about to come. He teaches the others on defense what he's seeing. You know, the other guys on defense and the whole team follow his lead when it comes to, you know, work and things like that. So the intangibles ultimately outweighed the any potential downside. I don't think linebacker is a position that definitely want to spend money on in free agency. And you can't just go find another Bobby Wagner in terms of what he can bring to the table. So unless you wanted to go out and spend, you know, legit money on like a Nick Bolton, who's a free agent, who is a guy I like, but then you're probably not really getting much of a difference maker. I think the hope has got to be, though, that Jordan McGee, who was, you know, basically banged up most of this year, he's able to play and able to show something when called upon, so they can feel better about him possibly being the replacement plan for 26. But yeah, I mean, for now, Bobby Wagner is a big need, or a big, you know, big hole filled. And also, look, he's got that big brother, little brother bond with Jaden Daniels, and anything you can do to help the quarterback, you do. And, you know, keeping Bobby Wagner does that, then, you know, it's the right move.
Can they be a great run-stopping team with him at Mike linebacker, you know, if his speed subsides even more this year?
It's a great question. I try to watch the film, but I'm not going to sit here and pretend I can tell you exactly where all the holes are. You would like to think that if the defensive tackle, the defensive line in general, did their work, you know, or a force of resistance there at the line, then that makes Wagner's job a lot easier. I don't think that was happening, though. Last year, I remember looking late in the season when they just kept giving up, you know, all these huge rushing games to teams. You know, I saw some stats that basically they were like dead last in the league in yards going to the edge, and then simultaneously they were also around like dead last when it came to yards before contact. So before anybody's even getting to the guy, the running back is already down the field, and that's where, you know, the lack of resistance up front is why they've got to get more help on the edge to be not just for a pass rusher, but to be a firm presence there. So yeah, obviously there's got to be some concern with Wagner, but you know, he's going to need the defensive line to help his cause. If not, then yeah, there could be some concerns for sure.
So again, devil's advocate here, Ben. I am a fan of the signing. I think it was the right thing to do. It makes perfect sense to me. I think it's not about what he doesn't do, but about what he does. But at the same time, we're talking about this. They couldn't stop the run, and I argued that the pass defense was every bit as weak, if not more so, and they had to overcompensate for that, and that kind of led to maybe them willing to give up 5, 6, 7, 8 yards before contact in a lot of cases, just so they didn't give up a lot through the air. But that said, what would you say to somebody that goes, why are we in such a hurry to bring back a guy from a terrible defense that couldn't stop anything? Shouldn't we be looking to upgrade there? What would you say to a person like that?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think you just have to look at all their everything they look at the entire board for them. Other than quarterback, you could tell me, you could justify anything to me that they should do. Sign any position, draft any position. I can absolutely make an argument for it because it's such a weird dynamic. They make the NFC Championship game. It feels like they're on the rise, which I'm not saying they're not. But half the team is missing. And they still, like, even last year, like, there's no other, like, obvious strength on this team. Right, it's not like you can say, "Hey, the defensive line is this," and you know maybe it's McLaurin and Samuel, but we got to see on that. And so when you look at that, then you figure out that hey, they only have 3 draft picks in like the top 205 right now. Maybe they'll trade out of the first round to get some more, but they only have right now 3 picks. 3 of them are in the top 79, so that's good. But if you look, if those 3 picks are used on, say, an edge, an offensive tackle, and let's say a cornerback, and you can't get. You can't address the other stuff, and I think those things are more important right now than the middle linebacker. I'm not dismissing the middle linebacker. I'm just saying those other positions are more core need. So filling in the one-year gap here, so to speak, if that's the way it plays out for Wagner one more year, this way I think makes more sense for using your assets than it would be to spend big at middle linebacker rather and go less at some of those other key positions. So that's kind of how I would look at it. And again, Wagner's intangibles are just – you know, pretty off the charts, and you know they just got to get more personnel around him.
How would you feel, Ben, about trading for Trey Hendrickson, and what do you think it might take?
So I've been same with Myles Garrett. I've been on the no trade team, not because obviously fantastic players, but it's twofold here. Look, they're on this like they've got this short window with Jaden Daniels still on the rookie contract for a couple more years at least. And, you know, the momentum from last year, and obviously those players would fill that edge defender gap that they desperately have to have. But they're going to cost you draft picks. And this team's only had 1 draft under Adam Peters. Because Jaden Daniels covers up so much, they really don't – they're not a young team. I mean, they were one of the oldest teams in the league last year.
Yeah.
You know, other than Jaden Daniels, Sandra Steele, Quan Martin – yeah, it's hard to point to too many guys right now who are young and say, wow, there's your core of their team.
They maybe were the Johnny oldest Newton playoff team, by the way, Ben.
Right, right. So, like, you know, look, maybe Johnny Newton and Brandon Coleman are officially clear starters going forward. And, you know, I think they were both fine this year, but we'll see where things go. So I think they just have to get more draft picks. So I get it, but because they're missing half a roster right now, I just don't think they're, like, that one guy away. And I if I'm Adam Peters, I'm just not trading away my first round pick.
Let me ask you this. If you found out, like, in 2 hours that they gave up this year's 2 and next year's 3, so now they have a first, you know, they basically are down to 5 picks, and they pick, like, twice in the top 205 or whatever the number would be at that point. But they get Hendrickson for a 2 this year and a 3 next year. Would you say, okay, I wouldn't have done that, but I think it's a pretty good move? Or, like, what would your reaction be?
Yeah, probably something like that. Look, it's not like I don't want to have fun. I mean, obviously it would be a lot more fun.
There's the element of, like, they have not had a guy like that. Like, you saw Dexter Manley, I didn't. They have not had a 15-plus sack, tackle for loss, quarterback hit, Maven. They've had some good edge rushers like Kerrigan and Marco Coleman in a year of LeVar, but they haven't had that, like, all-pro DPOY number 2.
Yeah, look, again, there's no doubt about it. That would be a huge addition to this team. It would be something they would need. And, you know, when you get those premium players, you know, in theory, they make everybody around them better because you're going to have to send double teams their way or put more attention. And that would give, you know, Dorrance Armstrong or Frankie Louvu maybe a little bit more one-on-one scenarios where they can beat their guy. No argument. But, you know, look, it's hard to just say, well, look ahead to, you know, 2 years from now, then what? Again, they've only had the 1 draft. We'll see how some of these other guys play. Look, you know, Ben Sinnott and Luke McCaffrey, I don't know what to make of them yet. Not saying they're bad or they're bust or anything like that, but I don't know. I mean, so you've got to build up more of these things. I mean, this is not just a one-year deal. Ultimately, for me, it's about Jaden Daniels, and you want to build with him. And they just don't have a lot of guys right now who are going to grow with him because they've only had the one draft. Unfortunately, for Adam Peters and Dan Quinn, the Ron Rivera drafts were mostly busts, as we know. So they just don't have a young baseline to work with. And ultimately, if I'm them, I don't want to be looking up in 3 years going, wait a minute, we have Jaden Daniels and everybody else on our team is, you know, getting AARP magazines, you know. So I would pass, but if they did it, like I wouldn't be like, wow, that's a major overpay. It's just like, sort of how would you build your team?
Ben, what's your reaction to this? The Danny Ruye or the Danny Peters plan depends on you know, which one you want to call it. I would do this. I would make sure that Mikey Sanristil goes back to what I drafted him to do, which is play slot corner. I'm hoping Marshawn Lattimore plays better than he did last year. I'd like to re-sign Igbinoghene, but who knows if he'd be willing to do that as a fourth corner, maybe fifth. And then I'm going to go to the one spot that looks decent in free agency, which is the cornerback spot. And maybe I'll win the bidding for a Traverius Ward or a DJ Reed or a Carlton Davis or somebody like that. That's something that I would do. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I don't think that's crazy at all. I mean, again, at the moment, the only corners they have are Lattimore and Sanristil. They've got to get pure depth at a minimum. And then, yeah, the question is, where is Sanristil playing? I would agree with you. I would put him inside. I kind of imagine that's what their plan would be, but obviously he showed that he could play outside. And then in order to get one of those types of corners, it's not a, you know, it shouldn't be just a minimum salary or a late round pick. It should be a decent investment, whether that's a second or a third round pick, or as you said, there's some guys in free agency that could be fun. Ward, you know, Adam Peters obviously had Ward in San Francisco, and that would be sort of on the high end thing. You know, I'm not going to say that they're definitely going to spend on one of the top names in free agency, or, you know, but like I wouldn't be surprised if they did. And so if they end up saying it's Ward, and maybe his salary doesn't get too high coming off, you know, some injuries and a little bit of a down year, maybe that's the case. But, I wouldn't have an issue with that, especially, look, in the division that they're in, right? I mean, you got A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. The Giants have Malik Neighbor. Dallas has CeeDee Lamb. We'll see what else they do at receiver. So, you know, you've got to have, against the teams you're playing the most, you've got to have good corners. So I wouldn't have an issue with that. Plus, like with Lattimore, you know, if things did go sideways this year, they could get out of his contract next year easily. So having the hedge at a minimum wouldn't be bad, let alone a guy who can actually start right away.
Ben, standing of the Athletic. All right, I want your prediction. If Washington does one of the two things that I'm about to give you, which one do you think they'll do? An elite corner or a top-of-the-line edge?
I heard Logan say top-of-the-line edge, and I'm never going to disagree with Logan Paulson. So I would say that, but I also think that, to me, just makes the most sense. You know, the thing about the line that I just, to this day, I just think too many people just don't quite grasp. The line on either side of the ball makes everybody else better, right? You know, you get a pass rusher who gets the quarterback off his mark, gets him on the run, gets him down. You can have lesser cornerbacks. And same thing like a receiver. You don't have to have the greatest receivers if you have a Jaden Daniels at corner. So as much as at quarterback. So as much as I would, you know, think they need a corner, I think it's no question edge. And I think that Adam Peters is going to feel the same way.
Smart, always, not to give Logan exclusivity. Right tackle or guard, which would you prefer?
You know what? Interesting. I might say guard. Like if I'm not convinced that Brandon Coleman is like definitively their left tackle. I think, you know, I asked both at Peters and Quinn in Indy at the combine, you know, basically was Coleman their left tackle. And you would think that if a second year guy who played as much as he did last year showed out for them, that they would just easily say, yeah, of course. I mean, yeah, neither one of them said that. Maybe it's reading in too much, but it was, you know, given the opportunity to say he's the guy, neither one of them did. And there were a lot of people, you know, who thought pre-draft that he may be better off at right tackle or guard. So I'm sort of like looking at Coleman like, well, where does he end up? But for now, I think, you know, we talk so much about the left tackle. I think, look, Allegretti was fine last year at left guard, but I think they can probably upgrade there. And maybe that by itself helps Brandon Coleman, right, giving him a sturdier piece there. So I don't have an issue with guard. Certainly tackle is the more valuable spot. But, you know, factor in that Cosme is out for at least some amount of time, I don't have an issue with guard, especially for 2025, because you have at least Coleman and Wiley right now.
And then the last one real quick, speedy running back or legit wide receiver too?
So based on the question, I think we're in agreement that Debo Samuel, as much of a playmaker as he may be healthy, he's not really a number two receiver. But I'm okay if they just go with sort of the Noah Brown. If it's not De'Ami Brown, maybe it's Zacchaeus or some other speed guy. I think that's a reasonable enough combination with the other guys. So to me, I've been kind of focused on getting more speed at running back. And, you know, look, if they want to tell me that Brian Robinson got sideways last year, the second half of the year, because of the line, okay, I'll buy that. But ultimately, you know, he kind of faded for him late in the year. And Austin Eckler, he got a lot of chunk yards last year, very fun player. You know, where is he at? I mean, he looks fine coming back from a concussion, so I'm assuming that's fine. But, you know, he's had injury history. I think they need more speed out of the backfield one way or the other. So I would probably go running back just to be maybe contrary to a degree. But I think a Noah Brown, De'Ami Brown combo, if they get that back, is probably enough with McLaurin and Samuel.
Ben, thank you, buddy. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, guys. See ya.
Super. Great content from Ben Standing of The Athletic. It's why we like having him on. John Walton on the Caps at 6. They made a trade today for Anthony Bevilier. How's he going to fit in? We'll ask John coming up in a little under 40 minutes. And the Grant and Danny, Tony's mailbag at about 6:10 before we say goodbye tonight. Next, Bobby Wagner in Washington this year. Can we expect his level of play to sustain? And what would a team be getting in John Allen? We'll get into those things in a moment.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
I was pretty confident that we were going to be able to get something worked out. And so it was more so just kind of sitting down and you know, putting our heads together to make something good for both sides. And I was confident that this was going to work out. I just love what we're building here. I love the team. I feel like this is the place. You know, you always want to be in a place where they want you to be here and they accept you. And I think we got unfinished business to do.
Bobby Wagner talking with the media today. Back with the Commanders for one last ride. I guess it's possible they could have a strong year and sign him when he's 36. But presumably, this will be his second and final season with Washington. I think he's going to play at a high level. I think he'll get a little bit more of what you got last year. Is it possible that, you know, everything goes from an 8 to a 7? Of course, at 35 years old. But he's really smart. He's going to get everybody lined up in the right spot. He's going to have those back and forth to the line of scrimmage, playing chess with quarterbacks. He's going to make a few plays by being in the right area at the right time because he's cerebral and intuitive. And there's going to be times where his speed limits you a little bit on stuff to the outside, which is why you need to upgrade your edge defense. But I totally get why they want to bring him back. And you and I think everybody else in town have been saying the same thing for 2 months now, which is it seemed like a foregone conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
As well as last year went and as important as he became to the dressing room and to the overall culture, they were going to bring this guy back. And unless you could get him at a rate where you could also sign someone else to maybe split some time occasionally on running downs, you know, or when you thought a team might try to take advantage of some of his perceived weaknesses now, and that was never realistic because he's going to make good money. Led your team in tackles, was a second-team All-Pro last year, still very, very good, very, very helpful. You were going to have to pay him, and you weren't going to probably upgrade from him. They'll have to wait till next year to get younger and faster at that spot.
So I think of this in sports terms, like a basketball lineup, where if you've got I'm just going to use one example, not the same, obviously, but if you've got Nikola Jokic, who's an unbelievable player, of course you want him on your team, but there are corollaries with that. You don't want him guarding a center. You don't want him guarding a wing that's super athletic. You have to compensate for that with other players on your roster because there's going to be weaknesses prevented that teams are going to try to take advantage of. I think of late career London Fletcher here, who was still an excellent player. I don't know if he was, you know, all-pro caliber or Pro Bowl caliber. I'm not really concerned about that, but still very good. But wasn't as great in pass coverage. Wasn't as awesome as he was early in his career dealing with running backs out of the backfield or tight ends in the middle of the field or, you know, helping out on the slot receivers, working some things. I think Wagner's in that same boat and position at this point in his career. So there are certainly weaknesses as a relative term, but things he doesn't do as well as he once did. That's pretty normal. That's obvious. That isn't to discount or doesn't outweigh the enormous list of positives. Right? Like, Bobby Wagner at this stage is still more valuable than pretty much anybody else they could have found for that spot. At that money, I think, honestly. You know what I mean? When you start doing the math on it, you go, yeah, this makes sense. Now, it requires us to build a certain way, but I'm fine doing that because they got Bobby Wagner back.
He also just made more big plays last year than he had in previous years. He defended more passes than the previous season in Seattle. He recovered more fumbles. He forced more fumbles. His sack count was down. They didn't really have him rush the quarterback quite as much. But, you know, tackles for loss were essentially the same. He hit the quarterback more last season. So it's not like there was some significant decline in anything other than the overall tackle total, where he went from an NFL high 183, which is a career high as well, to 132. And some of that is you're not playing behind, I think it was Jaron Reed and some of the guys he was in Seattle that previous season. But he can still play, and bringing him back was seemingly a formality. The question was, were they going to get it done before free agency, or was he going to test the market and then come back to them with a number? But around $8 million is what it's going to cost them. As far as John Allen goes, who they've released, I think he's going to have a good year somewhere. And I hope that for him. But I was saying this to Darius earlier. We were talking about possible landing spots. I think it'd be awesome if he went to Detroit. The Lions last year, part of it was injury.
Mm-hmm.
But their defensive tackle room got shredded. And their D-line, especially with the Hutchinson injury, was just a mess. Remember when Washington was able, for the first time in about 2.5 months, to run the ball with ease against Detroit in the playoffs with Brian Robinson?
Yeah, it was them and the Titans, the two running games that were worth a damn.
I mean, there was nobody that was stopping the run less in the final quarter of the season, seemingly, than the Detroit Lions. You could just do whatever you wanted with that front. I'm not saying John Allen is a run-stuffing threat anymore, that he would fix that for them. But I think they need assets and they need to throw some resources at the D-tackle and D-line position. And I think he can still help them. Go get 5.5 sacks, be part of a rotation. I would like that fit for him, and then he'd be right back in the playoffs, very possibly.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of what he deserves, I think he does. He deserves some career success, right? Finally got a little taste of it last year when he came rushing back. Not rushing, but you know what I mean. When he worked his way back from what we thought was a season-ending injury, got a little taste of some postseason success. I want him to go somewhere where he can win. It's an interesting defensive tackle market. I mean, the draft is thought of as a good, deep defensive tackle market. But there's a lot of guys in that Sheldon Rankins, B.J. Hill, Raekwon Davis, Javon Kinlaw sort of tier where John Allen's in that camp. That means maybe not what he once was, but perfectly plus rotational piece who could go to a contender and help.
We talked a lot yesterday about Trey Hendrickson from the Bengals being a possible target for Washington, and I still think it would make a lot of sense if they could go swing for the fences and hit a walk-off grand slam and land Hendrickson. But a couple of more cost-effective options and slightly younger options at the defensive end position if you're looking for an edge. That market's starting to clarify itself a little bit. It's like a Polaroid coming into focus. Harold Landry. Last week we found out that he was on the market to be traded. The Titans are going to be releasing him, it sounds like. 28-year-old who at one point in time had a 12 and 10.5 sack season back-to-back. He had 9 sacks this past year. He's not Hendrickson, but he might be able to come in here and give you 8 to 10 sacks this coming year. Being only 28 years old, a guy that you're not going to have to pay nearly as much as the $30 million a year for Hendrickson. That's a name to keep in mind. And then another guy who might be in that 8 to 10 sack range next season would be Josh Sweat, who comes over from Philly. He's actually a Virginia kid. He played at Oscar Smith High School, which is a power in Virginia Beach. They often win state championship games. I actually watched them at Lane Stadium in Virginia Tech win a state title a handful of years ago. I wonder if Sweat was on that team. I'd have to look that up. But Josh Sweat, a 27-year-old with Philly, who was so good in the Super Bowl, really good in their playoff run. He had 8 sacks this past season, which was the second highest total of his career. He's kind of been a mainstay in the 6 to 7.5 range. I'd have to look up and see how he does against the run to see how interested I am. But he's made a Pro Bowl. He's won a Super Bowl this past year. That's another name going to be cheaper than Hendrickson that if you're going shopping at D-end, everybody should know.
Yeah, BetOnline has odds for DeMarcus Lawrence, for example, to come to Washington. I think they're the leader because he's a former Dallas Cowboy, and he's a potential free agent there. So, I mean, the point is everyone's kind of doing that math, right, where they're going, if they go cheap, here's a route. If they go middle class or medium, here's a route. If they go big game hunting, here's, you know, Miles Garrett's the white whale, but then, you know, 1A or a half step down would be what you'd have to give up for Hendrickson. But the point is it's a glaring need. Everybody knows it, and they've already proven they'll go ahead and take a swing.
Why was LeBron James getting in Stephen A. Smith's face last night at an NBA game as Smith was taken in the game with his agents? We'll get into that next on The Fan. Stretch run of Grant and Danny being brought to you by our friends, the law firm Condori and Murrah. They'll help you draft a last will and testament, set up a living trust, or put together a medical power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their attorneys today at kmlawyers.com. Tell them we sent you to get a discount. It's kmlawyers.com. Danny, party till we die, baby.
Yeah, it's almost over.
Darius, let's play the part where it drops. Let's do that.
What does it do before it drops?
It gets hot.
Okay.
This song's one of them ones.
One of them ones.
Yeah.
One of them ones.
It's been a good couple of days for Stephen A. Smith as far as attention dollars go.
Oh, he's rolling in it.
For some reason, he's like on The View talking about being a presidential candidate, which that can go away whenever.
I'm all set on that.
But I digress. He's done a bunch of interviews in that regard. He got $20 million a year from ESPN. He just signed a new deal, so congratulations to him for that. I just read a story this morning that he's going to be more heavily involved in their NFL coverage.
In case you were concerned, put those concerns to bed. He'll be more involved.
Could also do without that.
Yeah.
However, or as Stephen A. Smith would say,
however,
he was in the news today because last night he was sitting courtside minding his own business, enjoying an NBA game. He was with his agent and apparently Larry David, which is hilarious. I just think that's funny.
That is funny to me.
As I heard from the clip that we're about to play. But Stephen A. Smith was sitting courtside and LeBron came up to him and pretty clearly, I don't want to say got in his face. That's kind of what happened. It looked like a confrontation. A lot of people speculated that he was saying, like, keep Bronny's name at your mouth from doing their John Boy lip reading. And then Stephen A. Smith started his show today, one of the shouty shows that he's on. Yelling all the time. Very, very underspoken, though. Very soft-spoken, very quiet here. There's not a lot of yelling. You got to listen closely because he's doing his serious Stephen A. Smith voice, you know, where he's like, what happened was... It's like a very, very different tone than normal. This is what he explained as having been the reason for the confrontation.
That was LeBron James coming up to me, unexpectedly, I might add, to confront me about... making sure that I mind what I say about his son. Can't repeat the words because they ain't suited for FCC airwaves. That's what he was doing. you know, I thought long and hard about this over the last few hours because I had no intentions, Molly, of talking about this at all.
Yeah.
And the reason why is because...
We're just going to lead the show.
It was a one-on-one, I wouldn't say a conversation, but it was a one-on-one confrontation. But then I wake up and everybody from ESPN and my agent and everybody else were sending me that this thing had gone viral. And so ultimately it was unavoidable and that is why I have to discuss it now. That wasn't a basketball player confronting me. That was a parent. That was a father. And I can't sit here and be angry or feel slighted by LeBron James in any way in that regard. By all accounts, he's obviously a wonderful family man and a wonderful father who cares very, very deeply about his son. And based on some of the comments that he had heard, or shall I say, I think he thought he heard, he clearly took exception.
So Stephen A. Smith goes on to say basically that he has tried to... explain that the issue Bronny's having with coverage is based on LeBron, not Bronny. In other words, the kid's doing nothing wrong. He's playing basketball.
He's trying to play in the NBA.
Yeah, and he's playing at a really high level, actually, in the G League, developmentally. And then when he goes to the NBA, he gets exposed as not being ready. But he cited later in this conversation, LeBron coming out at one point within the last couple of years saying he's better than half the players in the NBA and he's ready to play in the NBA right away. And his point was, his dad put a lot of pressure on him that wasn't necessary, and I think created some animus toward him that has nothing really to do with the kid. And so Stephen A.'s point is, LeBron thinks I'm bashing his son in some way that I shouldn't be, even though you're an analyst who talks about the NBA, so I would say it's probably okay to discuss the NBA player and the grown adult. But LeBron, I guess, disagrees. But he's saying, really, I'm talking about LeBron, not his son. My takeaway from all of this is, when you are one of the most famous people on the planet, I just got to have you have thicker skin. I'm sorry. I don't recall Michael Jordan confronting reporters after games to yell at them about what they said on television. You know, like these guys take issue with Charles Barkley all the time, too, when he has his comments. I don't know. I'll just always feel this way. When you get to a certain level of superstardom and fame, it just comes with the territory that you're going to hear a lot of crap you don't like. You don't have to like Stephen A. Smith, but I do think you got to keep it moving to some extent. And if he said something that's completely out of pocket, if he went in on you personally, if he talked about your son in a way that if someone talked about your kid or my kid, Danny, we'd be upset, then I understand that. But assuming I've heard everything that he's ever said, you know, about Bronny, and that there's not some comment out there I don't know about, and it was a basketball-related comment, and the basketball analyst said it, then I think LeBron's got to get over it.
Well, the whole thing is just so cringeworthy and embarrassing. Again, this is the NBA. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, this was my point before this happened, and nobody seemed to see it the way I did, which is fine. I guess I'll just be the crazy person. But I don't blame the kid at all. All he's trying to do is play professional basketball with a legacy that's impossible for anyone to live up to. Because LeBron James, the second best player ever to live, is still putting up 25, 8, and 8 as a 40-year-old, for God's sakes, just scored his 50,000th point. No kid's living up to that. Nobody. Sorry. So all he's trying to do is play in the NBA. The dad is trying to do this cool thing where it's like, I'm going to say team is my son. That's pretty neat. Ken Griffey Jr. and Sr. We have that image, and that's awesome. That's really
Bobby
cool.
Bobby and Barry Bonds.
Yeah, of course. The people that need to be embarrassed are the ones that are like, oh, right away, Mr. James. Of course. Let's make this happen. So if I'm a team in the NBA, and I know this is the mission, why didn't you draft Bronny James and make the Lakers give you a king's ransom? We just sort of capitulate and bend over and say, of course, let's do this. This weird gimmick that puts the kid in a terrible
like
spot.
Like all the other teams that passed on him?
That's my point. Not that he could play.
I just think they passed on him because he's not an NBA player.
Well, right, but this whole thing was shoehorned and greenlit and allowed to take place. And it's like the Lakers are so desperate for it. You're the Lakers, for God's sakes.
It was definitely a Rich Paul operation.
Yeah, so before they got Luka Doncic, they were just middle of the pack doing middle of the pack Laker things, which is what they've done. The whole point is to start winning more championships again. Anyway, but I put that aside. If we can't talk about the NBA player, and again, it's not I don't blame the kid at all. Here's my professional opinion. Should still be in college. Maybe he's an NBA player one day. He's not right now. That's okay. There's a million guys, billion guys, billions of guys that are not NBA players right now that probably could use some more seasoning. But good for him. He's doing what he's trying to do. Next topic, please. The idea that this Shouty Show Magoo is now the center of the news and has to go kiss the ring because LeBron is pissed off at him. Everybody should be so embarrassed about this.
Well, this is where the NBA has lost its way, too, in my opinion. This is where my passion started to wane some, is that, forget our show, where this is kind of an interesting thing that happened and a national story today, but like NBA shows are talking about LeBron versus Stephen A. Smith. But a couple of years ago, I would watch the Rachel Nichols show or one of these other shows, and it's like, let's debate who has the best shoe line, and let's do a segment on what people were wearing walking into the arena, and you know, who wants to be traded today? Let's talk about who's got the demand today and who the super team's going to be. It's very rarely about the games with that sport. It's just such a shy sideshow, made-for-TV kind of drama fest. And this feels like it's cut from that cloth. And you just never know, like, which strings are being pulled by who? Like, is this real? Is this a publicity stunt for LeBron or Smith or both? And it always just feels kind of strange to me.
So if, you know, Jeffrey Jordan, when he was playing at Illinois, didn't have a great game, and whatever the local sports radio is like, hey, Jeffrey Jordan didn't have a great game last night. He turned it over. He's really struggling. Does Michael Jordan get to call the radio station and berate people?
I mean, he would go up to the scorer's table and get in their face, I'm pretty sure.
But, like, what are we doing? Like, what are we doing?
Well, what we're doing is talking to John Walton next. The Caps made a trade. Today was the NHL trade deadline. They look like they are built for a Stanley Cup, so we'll talk to him before tonight's game. And then at 6:10, line them up now, Grant and Danny's Tony Mailbag. This is a ask us anything, sports, non-sports, whatever you got. We'll answer it. You can tweet us your questions at Grant H. Paulson at Funny Danny, or you could dial us now, 800-636-1067.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. but that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omisid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omisid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omised.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.